Let's go! We ready? Woo! Let's go, baby. Dummies for Sports, here we go. Mice, are you at work? Where are you at right now?
I'm just settling down.
All right. Settle down. We have an important division to talk about, the NFC South. You know, you guys, last night I had to do the AFC South solo. That was probably intentional on your part.
Apologize.
Nobody wanted to have a part of that division. But I made the point of saying that I think that if I ask the other guys, they'll probably agree that the Jaguars are going to win the division. And I also said at the end of the podcast, which you should go and check out. It's only like 10 minutes long because it's just me. And I made the point at the end of the podcast that, you know, if anyone but the Jaguars wins that division at the end of the season, Old Takes Exposed will be all over it because everyone's going to say there's guaranteed the Jaguars win this division, this and that and the other. So obviously, let's see what happens. But we're moving on today. NFC South, another exciting division. And here we go. We got to hit every team in the NFL. We do not discriminate, guys. We do not discriminate. So every team gets their deserved attention. Let's start off with the one and only New Orleans Saints at 9.5. You might ask me, the Saints have a 9.5 win total? The answer is very simple, Meisty. They have the second easiest strength of schedule in football. And they have playmakers. So, you know, they're obviously a team that won 7 games last year. All these teams were really, I don't think a single team in this division won less than 7 games last year. So, right? Falcons ended up winning 7 games, didn't they? I think the Falcons ended up winning 7 games.
Falcons won 7.
Yeah. So as much as we want to hate on the division, they're probably one of only 2 or 3 divisions that can say that last year. And no team won less than seven games. So I'm just saying, you know, they can be competitive with each other, and they'll have easy schedules outside of that. So let's start with the Saints at 9.5. I'm liking the Saints at 9.5. I actually think they're going to go over. You know, they have young talent on the team. They approved the receiving corps in the offseason. Already have Olave just looking like an absolute stud. The big question mark is, can Michael Thomas stay healthy? That's always a question mark with the Saints. But if he can stay healthy, bring him in with Juwan Johnson. Like, honestly, they have good pieces there. When Alvin Kamara comes back from his suspension, Derek Carr, when he's surrounded with good weapons throughout his career, that's when he's thrived. It's very simple. He's very much fluctuated throughout his career. But when he has weapons, bring in Darren Waller, all of a sudden he's this great quarterback. Like, when he has weapons around him, which I think the Saints could, as long as Michael Thomas can stay healthy, which is a big if. But if that can happen, I can see a world where the Saints win 10 games. I really could. Second easiest schedule in football. Cameron Jordan getting older. Defense doesn't look great. But I think there's enough playmakers there. Bad division. I like it. Reluctantly going over 9.5. That's what I'm going to say.
Did Eli Apple sign with the Saints? I just have to count.
Who cares?
How many losses.
Well,
that adds at least a loss.
Right.
I'm going to have to agree with you, Rocky. I think that, first of all, I think they sweep their division right off the bat, to start with that. Then go off of that to the other games that are considered the easiest schedule. They if they don't string together wins, like, I mean, even winning the division here should not be tough. 9 wins could get them the division win here. I do expect there to be, I think, to be very close. So even if they have 10, 11 wins, I do expect the second team in that division to have 10, 11 wins. So I agree with you on going over. I do think the division is a lot closer than people think it is.
Agreed.
I think it is very close because they are all pretty average at best. At best, they're like, you know, 16th, 15th best teams. And the reason why their schedules are so easy is because they all play each other. And they're all very good. And so they also get to play the AFC South, the division that you talked about. It's also going to be a pretty bad division with only one good team that we anticipate in Jacksonville. But you said 9.5?
9.5, yeah.
I honestly think, like, if the NFC South keeps beating up on themselves and on each other, and they all go like 3-3 in the division against each other, I could see a division winner being 9-8, 8-9 even. Like, we've had, I think the Panthers won division when they were like 7-8-1 a few years ago, as the second team to win the division. I think that didn't the Bucks just won the division with a losing record?
8-9. Right?
No.
Yeah, the Bucks.
8-9. You're right.
Remember, second last week of the season, they beat the Panthers and they clinched.
Yeah, right. So they had a losing record and they had Tom Brady. So I know the addition of Derek Carr is good, and like you said, he has weapons around him, but he had Devonta Adams and Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs last year, and they still were really bad.
Fair point.
He did regress a little bit, but he also was playing for Josh McDaniels, who was a hack. So now he has Dennis Allen, who also might not be a great coach, but at least he is in a place that wants him. But 9.5 just feels so high, and I think, like, 10 wins, like, I don't know. I think I'm going to take under because I think they're going to win 9 games and be in contention to win the division, but I'm still going to take the under because I think they'll win 9 at most.
Speaking of new play callers, well, not new play callers, but, you know, the Atlanta Falcons play callers in general. The Atlanta Falcons over-under is 8.5. And speaking of play calling, the Falcons are going to run the garbage out of them, you know, next year. The Falcons, I think, ran more than any team in the NFL last year. So they come in at 8.5. The Falcons, and we've been calling them this for years, but they really are 49ers light. That's really what they are. They have a lot of mismatches. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, even Cordell Patterson, they somehow find ways to deploy them in different ways. Now, you know, the controversial draft pick of Bijan Robinson, he is a great running back, much like Saquon Barkley was coming out of the draft, right? We're like, listen, he's a great talent. He's just a running back. But, you know, so it's drafting that high. But he is a great running back. The Falcons run a lot. They ran a lot last year with Algier. They'll continue to do the same thing this year. So at the end of the day, the Falcons have a lot of weapons. This is going to be a good offense. They brought in Jonnu Smith also in the offseason, by the way. Yeah, like, that's a perfect fit for this Falcons offense, a versatile player like Jonnu Smith. So I think they're going to create a lot of mismatches, improve the offensive line. The big question mark is the defense. It was horrible last year. You know, that brought in Calais Campbell now, match up with A.J. Terrell. Let's see. There's a lot of question marks there. They definitely added talent to the defense this year. I don't think it's enough, but I think a team like that with that many playmakers on offense, that many mismatches, we're talking about two top-notch weapons, absolute top-notch weapons. And if you can, you know, if you can have a top five running game in football like they did last year again, over 8.5 in this division, again, I'll take it. I think the better teams in this division are going to win more games, and the worst teams in the division are going to win less games. But I'll go over for the Falcons at 8.5.
Yeah, I mean, you said they have like a fantasy football team on their team with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson.
Like the Niners. Like,
yeah. Right. They're drafting skill position guys in the first round every round, but they're missing the most important skill position, which is the quarterback. And Desmond Ridder did not look good last year. And who knows if he's going to be able to take that jump. But everyone seems to be anticipating that he is going to hold the offense back. And, you know, you can't really hold the offense back if all you're doing is taking the ball and handing it to the running back. So, like, that, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, he can do that. But, like, in high-pressure situations, like, specifically I see their last game of the season is against the Saints, which I think is a great scheduling job by the NFL because that's probably going to be for the division, the last week of the season, Falcons-Saints. It'll be very exciting. Who knows if he's going to step up? They signed Taylor Heinicke. And, you know, I'm not saying that Taylor Heinicke is going to take his job or anything, but, like, he was a guy who played in the NFL. It's not like a random backup quarterback. It's like someone who has some experience as a backup quarterback. So also signing Jesse Bates was huge, huge for their defense. Like you said, their defense was atrocious last year, and now it should improve with Jesse Bates on there. But, oh, and we lost our boy, Calais.
Calais, can't forget about him.
Yeah, big for them, big locker room guy. But I'm actually going to take the over because 8.5, if it was 9.5, I would take the under again. But 8.5, I think I could see the Falcons getting 9 wins, even with a limited quarterback play, because Arthur Smith, like you said, just going to run the ball, hopefully use those playmakers in a smart way and take advantage of a weak division to win 9 games and potentially fight for the division.
What drugs did you guys take this morning? And are you crazy? The Falcon, Rocky, you're the one who always says it most. Running backs are useless. Do they? What are they going to do? So they hand it off 100 times.
I'm going. No. Well, I'm going over 8.5 on two bases. Number one, I think they have a top 10 receiving core in football. I think they have incredible playmakers. So even if Desmond is not great, I think it'll be good enough in this division. And number two, no, good running games are very valuable. It's carried the Ravens for 5 years. Of course it is. And running backs individually are not valuable, but running games are valuable. I've made that very clear.
Lamar Jackson.
That's why Lamar is valuable. because he
Desmond Ridder, if Desmond Ridder is even 5% of Lamar Jackson, that yes, they will get over on the wins. Okay, let's settle down and why the running game for the Ravens has worked for 5 years. It works because there's a guy named Lamar Jackson running the helm.
It's worked for the Falcons too. The Falcons have had a great running game for a few years now. They like that's not a weakness of theirs. It's never been.
I didn't say it's a weakness, but it's a weakness in the NFL today to be great at running. You're not going to win the Super Bowl.
It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you.
It sure ain't going to help you. And we can sit here and talk all about it, but the bottom line is, Falcons suck, okay? Yes, their division is bad, they stink. They stink, all right? They will not get more than 6 wins this year. 6 max for the Falcons. Under, I don't know what you guys are on. You guys are out of your minds. The Falcons are atrocious.
Okay, moving on to the Panthers, who I think are more atrocious than the Falcons, in my opinion. But
yeah.
So the Panthers trade up, get Bryce Young. The Panthers trade up, get Bryce Young, as everyone knows, and you know, traded a lot. Had to trade away DJ Moore. You know, I like what they. I like, you know, JC Horn was a good piece for them. They have actually pretty good secondary now. Like honestly, Jeremy Chinn's still there, right? Who'd they bring in? They brought in Von Bell. So they actually have a pretty good secondary now. The defense is a little improved, but they have the opposite problem with the Falcons. Their receiving corps is horrible. You bring in a half-baked Adam Thielen. I mean, like, come on. You really don't have many great options there. You had to let go of DJ Moore. So Bryce Young, I don't know, much like Justin Fields in his rookie year, I don't know if you're going to be able to come out from this year and say, well, you know, we know what we have from this guy. He doesn't really have much around him to put him in a position that's conducive to success. So therefore, I really don't like the Panthers at all this year. 7.5, I'm going under.
I'm going to agree with you on that one, Rocky. Spoken the words out of my mouth. They have issues, and they have a lot of holes. Defense is good. Defense is okay. They won't be, you know, they won't give up the most points out of any team this year. You still have the Cardinals who stink and other teams who are even worse. Yep. But you call me crazy. I have more faith, though, in the Panthers than I do in a team like the Falcons. In 3-4 years from now, the Falcons are a team that's just going to be they'll be a below average team forever. Even the year they went to the Super Bowl, they were just below average. They had a guy who had an amazing year, so it got them to the Super Bowl. But I think the Panthers are on the right path, and they're building something. But as we're talking about this season, yes, they're atrocious and under 7.5 win.
Yeah, I agree with that point that the Panthers seem like a team that can actually like build for the long term, but this year specifically they will be under, you said 7.5, right?
10.
Yeah.
They'll be under 7.5 because they still have a rookie quarterback. I know I just ragged on Desmond Ridder, but he is you know, he's not a rookie. He had a little bit of experience. I know Bryce Young is the first overall, but he's still a small rookie quarterback who is going to, I think it will get other teams fired up, especially in the division, when they're like, oh, everybody talks about the first overall pick and Bryce Young and the Panthers. They're going to be fired up to play him. And I think they're going to be losing those close games, especially like you said, Rocky. They have their receiving core is so is so bare. And I don't know who Bryce Young is going to throw to. Miles Sanders is injured already. He's injury prone. They brought him in as a new, you know, new addition to the running back core, but like the skill position guys are a little limited. They're not the Falcons level, and they don't have the experience of the Saints, like Carr and Olave, and you know, hopefully Michael Thomas. We'll see if he comes back. But like you said, Meisty, their defense will be solid, and they got Von Bell. So the other Bengals safety who also went to the NFC South. And Hayden Hurst, I guess, wanted to join him. So they got all these, you know, C+, B- skill position guys, the Panthers. So they're like, you know, they're a rebuilding team. It's obvious that there's gonna be growing pains. And like, they're playing in Dallas in week 11. I could see them losing, like, you know, like 30-10, like getting blown out of the water by Dallas or something like that.
Yep.
But maybe hopefully we'll see some sparks, and long term we'll see some good things from Bryce Young, but this year they're getting 5 or 6 wins.
The issue is you can give them the best skill position players. That offensive line might be bottom 32 right there, and that is their number one problem, in my opinion, is the fact that, yes, you can have Bryce Young and he can be as talented as you want, you have no offensive line, he won't have that. That guy will not have more than 2 seconds of play, in my opinion. He will average about 2 seconds of play to get rid of the ball, in my opinion, this year. And that's for a rookie. That doesn't work, and it doesn't work for anyone really. But it's going to be a painful year, and I hope he doesn't get hurt, because we hate to see that. You hate to see something like that happen. It happened to Joe Burrow, even. You hate to see these things happen. When a bad offensive line can't help, you know, an offensive line doesn't help their quarterback out, and that gets them hurt. But hopefully not, and hopefully, like you said, we see some sparks.
That's certainly a concern. You'll have to hope that Bryce Young's evasiveness in the pocket, which he does have, you know, he's an athletic guy, right, and he's showed that in the preseason, that he can really avoid sacks when needed. But we'll see how that translates. And speaking of offensive lines, the Bucs, you know, are a team that have been known for their offensive line for a bunch of years here, and their over-under is at 6.5. Ryan Jensen's career might be over. The offensive line is definitely on the decline there. Brady's out. Baker's in. What to make of Baker Mayfield? Nobody knows, right? All of a sudden. Yeah.
We've had a Baker Mayfield podcast.
I know. We've discussed a lot about Baker, and he's still a big question mark, right? Like, he came in at Carolina. The Browns released him. Carolina brought him in. Looked horrible in Carolina. All of a sudden, you know, moves out to the West Coast, and he comes out of the gate, you know, looking like old Baker Mayfield again. But then he comes back down to earth. So what version of Baker would he get yet? Nobody knows. You have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, right? So that's something, although the offense looked completely out of sync last year, even with Brady passing to Mike Evans. The offense looked like nobody even knows what the problem was in Tampa Bay last year, and yet it just looked out of sync. But you do have weapons there. What'd you say?
They had no balance. They ran the ball like 30% of the time, and Brady threw the ball like 70% of the time. Even though it was Brady, you know, he's the greatest quarterback ever, you have to have some sort of balance. And they ran the ball like literally like 5 or 6 times a game sometimes.
No, certainly. The running game was historically bad last year. Absolutely true. And yeah, I don't see any improvements of that this year. The offensive line only got worse. For some reason, the pass blocking was good. The run blocking wasn't, because it's two different talents a lot of times. It's very interesting. But with that being the case, 6.5 is very low. I already picked two teams to go over, but 6.5 is very low with good weapons. It's a talented defense, although they underperformed last year. You'll have games where they give up, you know, 3 or 6 points. You'll have a few games like that this year, because they really do have a lot of talent on this defense. So couple that together, 7 wins. Yeah, they can get 7 wins. Fine. Whatever. I'm not so sure. I don't have such a strong opinion about this, but like, could just give them over 6.5.
I'm taking the under. I'm definitely taking the under on this one. It's not super strong opinion, but Baker Mayfield is not good. And I'm glad for him that he got another chance, even after, you know, he destroyed DJ Moore's value in
good call.
Very bad.
You say that, but he got traded for first overall pick.
I'm saying he destroyed DJ Moore's value, because he made not that he destroyed his. He made him bad on the team. You're right. Everybody knew that DJ Moore was still good, but like, they were like, man, Baker Mayfield said something to him. Like, just ignore that part. DJ Moore's still good, we promise. But I don't know how they randomly beat the Raiders on that Thursday night game. That was so weird when he was on the Rams for 2 days. That was so
hilarious.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Derek Carr, like, you can't hold it against him. He's playing for Josh McDaniels. That team is a joke. And so him signing with the Bucs, this is because the Bucs went all in. They won a Super Bowl. They got it. They accomplished their goal with Brady. They had some solid years. But now they are basically like the Rams in that they're old. They went all in.
No money.
They have no cap space. They got the ring. It worked. But now they have no plan. They're floating in mediocrity oblivion, and they are going to suck. And they got Baker Mayfield. They are playing. They're playing Philly week 3 on Monday Night Football. And oh my god!
Oh man!
Game. Oh, yeah. By the way, I predict on that Monday Night game. I predict that Monday Night game that we're going to end up in a game. Someone's going to win their fantasy league down like 35, 40 points. Like a random
good call. Let's remember that. Let's remember that.
Yeah. He's going to go off. It's going to be classic. It's going to be the classic. Like, oh, I need 38 points from, A.J. Brown. Or I need, like, 50 points from A.J. Brown. And you're going to get 51 points from A.J. Brown.
Exactly. So, like, we expect them to be very bad. And I expect them to win a game or two here against, like, maybe they'll steal one against Carolina or the Saints.
I'm interested to take on that.
I feel like steal one or two from those guys. Maybe they'll go 1-5, but they're definitely going over 6.5. And I see them and Carolina fighting for the basement. I think Carolina would probably be better than them because I think the Bucks are returning to their early 2000s ways, and they're going to be back in the basement and one of the bottom three, one of the bottom five teams in the league.
Early 2000s, they won a Super Bowl. Anyway.
I said early 2010s. I said early 2010s.
Oh, I thought you said early 2000s. I was like, oh, yeah,
early 2000s, they had one of the best defenses of all time. You're right. But yeah, after
that.
Right.
Yeah, they won. Right. But let me bring it. Okay, let me bring this in. If there's a team in that division that's going to win the division battle, where, as in, I don't mean win the division, but win, have the best record amongst division, it's the Bucks, just because, like you said, they randomly steal these random games. So I can see them going into, like, New Orleans and winning, even though New Orleans wins the division. It's like, how'd you just, or you just swept New Orleans. Like, stupid things like that. They can win their division games. I have a full faith in them. I happen to have more faith in Baker Mayfield right now than I did in Tom Brady last year. No offense to Tom Brady, obviously. He's the greatest of all time. But at the end of the day, it was atrocious watching him play last year versus Baker. It could be anything. Anything's possible. So I have more faith in Baker. I'm going to take the over on 6.5. I think they got exactly 7 wins. It still probably puts them in actually second to last place because the Falcons might win 4 or 5 wins. So but I have zero faith here in the Bucs going anywhere past 7 wins. But I want to take the over just because I have faith in Baker still.
Meisty, who's your division winner? Final prediction.
The Saints. It has to be the Saints.
I agree with the Saints. What about you, Yehuda?
Division winner is going to be the Falcons or the Saints. I will not lock it in right now.
Not locking it in right now. I also think it's going to be either the Falcons or Saints. But I think
Falcons
Saints.
Falcons are falling in.
I think Saints.
You might get the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, you tell me that, not the Falcons. No, you tell me in late November when the Bucks are 2-9 and Baker Mayfield has not been playing well, but then they put in Kyle Trask, who's even worse because he couldn't even beat out Baker Mayfield. They put in Kyle Trask to make sure that they win the Caleb Williams sweepstakes as they're competing with the
Marvin Harrison. You mean the Marvin Harrison sweepstakes. It's the Marvin Harrison sweepstakes.
I feel like you guys both feel the same way. Yehuda feels the same way about the Bucks as Meisty does about the Falcons. That's the way it is. Yes.
The Bucks are going to be so bad. Oh, my God.
So let's just all go with the Saints.
The Bucks are going – no. I did not say the Bucks are going to even get close to the division. I said they're going to get more than 8 wins. So
right. But
I have more faith in the Panthers winning the division just because of their rookie quarterback decides that he's like Mahomes all of a sudden. I have more faith in that happening than Baker Mayfield actually playing good or the Falcons. I don't know. Falcons are hit or miss, I guess, according to you guys. They seem like they're much better, but I think they suck.
They're going first.
The Panthers are a real hit or miss. The Panthers have a real shot. The Saints suck, but they're better than every other team in their division. That's it.
Yeah.
The division sucks, but, you know, you got to pick one of them. So
yeah.
If I were to pick one of them, I'd pick the Saints. That's it. That's really what it comes down to.
Oh, and by the way, Rocky, I know it's the wrong topic, but we're talking about the South. When the Titans win the division, call me.
Well, I know. I said that. Watch the podcast from last night. I said that when the Jaguars lose the division and one of the other teams win, Old Takes Exposed will be all over it. So they'll have a fun week 18 after that last game when someone
Correct.
We're side betting that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. First of all, it's not happening. The Jaguars will win that division.
I agree. But if it doesn't, it'll be pretty comical. Yes. Yeah. All right, guys. Let's wrap it up there. You guys been hearing an echo too?
Yeah, I just started. Just picked it up.
You just started. Okay, hopefully we didn't get that much in the auto. Anyway, let's wrap it up before we get more echoes. We'll see you later, guys. NFC South, 2 more to go. NFL season in a week and a day. We'll see you next time.
Let's go. Big third down, boys.